Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I'm Karen Eden, and my assignment this week is one that, we can all relate to. Kind of hit me in the head, or I should say in the heart, pretty hard here in the last few days. But there's a saying out there that says like 90% of what you worry about will probably never even happen anyway. Well, that's my assignment for this week. For those who may be new to my radio blog on AMAA Radio, I want to let you know that I am probably a pretty well-known martial arts master because of my journalism in the martial arts industry, but I am also an ordained clinical pastor, which means that I'm basically a chaplain. I've been doing a lot of chaplaincy work over the years. I don't really talk about it a whole lot, but everything from prisons to police departments, to Boy Scouts of America, to Daughters of the American Revolution. It's something that is in my heart to do, to also try to make a difference in this world, which is why I'm doing this radio blog. Worry is a very interesting subject, worry. Let me share with you a little bit of a story. A couple of weeks ago, I got the flu really bad. Now, I've had flu many times, so I wasn't worried about it. I knew it was healthy. I thought maybe I'd be out for 4 or 5 days, and that would probably be the gist of it. I'd been traveling a lot during flu season, so I took that risk, but I was pretty confident, you know, being a healthy person, that everything would be okay. And what happened was when I actually came back from flying out of Philadelphia, My temperature went up to 102.5, and my blood pressure shot up to 165 over 115. I have extremely low blood pressure. I'm a vegetarian. I'm like a cold water fish with my blood pressure. So that was very unusual for me. So, went over to the urgent care, had them look me over, tested me. Yes, you have type A influenza. Gave me all the stuff you need for flu, Tamiflu, all that stuff, and they sent me home. And then later on, something really strange started to happen. My heart, keep in mind that a normal heart rate is 60 to 100. My heart rate jumped up to 248, and it wouldn't stop. I couldn't get it to stop. I mean, you know, I'm getting all zen and everything, trying to calm it down and everything else. And, man, it wasn't working. So my husband took me to the emergency room, and they became increasingly concerned to have that kind of a heart rate. And they tried everything in the world to get my heart rate down, and they couldn't do it. So finally, we got into a time allotment where we're going on, 2 hours here where my heart rate's been 248, somewhere in that ballpark. So they're like, well, we hate to tell you this, but we're going to have to stop and restart your heart. There's nothing else that we can do. So they got the defibrillator there, ready to go, and they actually did not put me under, guys. I was fully conscious when they did this. They injected me with a medication that stopped my heart and restarted it. I remember everything very fully, and I can tell you it hurts. They told me it would hurt, but, man, they were underestimating. They said it was going to feel like getting hit by a truck. It actually felt way worse than that for those few seconds, and honestly felt like somebody took my heart out and hammered it with a meat cleaver. It hurt, but it did work, and I'm very grateful for that. My heart rate went back down. These are all complications due to this year's superbug flu. So first of all, as a health warning, in this day and age, when you see flu, dude, it's not the normal flu. Don't take any chances. I mean, if I wasn't in good shape and I still work out pretty much regularly, I probably would have went into cardiac arrest. I mean, I can see how this kills people, and it's killing very young people. So just be careful. Just be careful. Hey, listen, it wasn't my time to go. God was with me. But my point is, that is only the second out of control where, I had to totally be reliant on strangers to, in this case, save my life. The other incident would be during childbirth where, you obviously have no control over that. But that wasn't scary. Not like this. I mean, it really made me think. I'm like, wow, Karen, you're always perceived as someone who's constantly in control of your life. And, you know, I mean, and I pretty much am kind of a control freak. I'll admit that, like many of you out there are, especially you martial artists. You know, it kind of comes with the territory. But for me to totally be reliant on people I've never even met in my life, for my own life, really, really made me think differently. It made me think of this term we have in the Japanese samurai warrior code. I don't really remember what the word is. It's like Yoroku. Sorry if I mispronounced that. But anyway, it basically means to surrender, to yield. And this is for lack of a better way to put it, a warrior's code, where you honestly give into whatever a day may bring. The animal kingdom is very good at doing that. You think of all the animals that are out there in the world today, and they don't really worry about, you know, what are they going to eat next week? Are they going to be eaten later tonight? They instinctively have this code in them. Of course, they have adaptive ways to help camouflage against predators and so forth. But their mindset isn't one where they're constantly worried and living in a state of fear over things that have not happened yet. So that's where I'm at today. As human beings, we tend to worry so much about things that haven't even happened yet. Like over 90% of the things you worry about will probably never take place. I've noticed that the things that you end up having to be challenged by are those random things that happen on some weird Tuesday afternoon. I mean, you never know what's coming. And you're like, what? Those are the things that become challenging in our lives. But when we sit and we fester over this, over that, you know, those are the things that we're going to have to warrior up about if we want to live a long and healthy life, because that type of stress where you're constantly battling over what your future is going to bring, that'll take you out. That messes with your heart. So I want to give you a reference that's in the Bible, because the Bible's my book, and it's got so many codes in it, spiritual codes on how to live your life. I want to encourage you to pick up a Bible if you already have one and open it and read it. And if you don't understand it, then go get another version. In this day and age, there's so much out there. You know, I don't have time to read. Well, go get an audio Bible. There's so many options today. There's no reason why anybody can't pick up the code, the book that we go by, if you are someone who believes the way that I do. And you know me, I make no apologies for my belief system, even though our world today would make me want to apologize that I believe in Jesus Christ. I can honestly tell you, I really don't care. You don't like it, well, you can kind of go get your own show. That's the way I look at it. I know you've heard me say that before. I am who I am, and I stand in my truth. And let me tell you something. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Find out what your truth is and stand in it. For me, my truth is Jesus Christ, and I have to read what he said. So anyway, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about the way we always worry about stuff that hasn't happened yet. And this is Christ himself talking. He goes, you know what? Take no thought about what tomorrow is going to bring. He goes, you got enough to deal with today. So stop worrying about the future. That's what he's saying. He goes, and he gives examples, which he often does. He goes, you know, look at the lilies. They don't worry about if they're going to be beautiful when they come out. They just trust and know that they were designed to be beautiful when they come out. That's the way we have to take it with ourselves. Don't worry about what you're going to come out to be. Trust that you were designed to come out to be what you were supposed to be. That beauty will come out. He goes, consider the birds of the air. How many thousands of birds are out there? You ever wonder how they all get to eat? Every bug gets to eat. Every fish gets to eat. He goes, I'm Father God, the true creator, and I make sure that happens. And you've just got to trust that. It's just, you know, it's just a letting go. It's a surrender. It's the same samurai warrior code where you just surrender to whatever the day will bring forth and trust that it's going to be okay, that everything's going to be okay. People often wonder how I can be, you know, I've been accused of being a little religious. I honestly don't know how people can live without a spiritual code. I don't know. For me to know that I can just surrender things to Father God, my true creator, I can just surrender things to him and he's going to make sure everything's going to be okay. It takes a lot off of me. People who go around with the burden of not being able to surrender what the future's going to hold, I don't know how they do that, because honestly, when you have that type of thinking, there's never enough money in the world. You can never get enough of what you think you need in those aspects. I mean, there's never enough security. Do you know the story of the woman who lived in the house who kept like putting these security measures in her home because she was just so afraid not only of physical intruders, but she was afraid of spiritual intruders too. I guess she dreamed about something or saw something, so she felt like she had to reinforce her home with trick staircases and all these other things to keep herself safe. I mean, you sit there, you'll go crazy when you think about everything you have to do to make sure that, A, you're going to be healthy and your family's going to be healthy, B, you're going to have enough money until you die, C, you know what, the relationships are where they need to be, you know, especially the relationship part. That's hard because, you know, we're all different individuals. I don't care if it's a friend. I don't care if it's a spouse, a partner. If it's a spouse, you know, significant other, you did not marry a mirrored image of yourself. And you got to give up the fact that they're going to see the things eye to eye the way that you do. They're distinct individuals. They have their own life experience to take into a relationship. And that doesn't mean that your relationship is over because you don't see eye to eye on things. It just means that there is a distinct individual with their own set of circumstances. And you've got to put things into perspective and not get crazy and worry about it. I mean, I'm telling you things that people come to me as a chaplain, as a certified clinical pastor. People come to me with these problems so worried that, you know, the relationship's going to fail because they're in a disagreement. It doesn't mean your relationship's going to fail. It just means you're in a disagreement. I mean, if you make a covenant to stick together, there should really be an understanding that I'm me, you, but I'm going to do the best that I can to help you on your journey in this world, and I trust you're going to do the best you can to help me on my journey. We're going to disagree just as much as we disagree, and I'm a vegetarian and my husband's not. He's a major meat eater. He's a hunter. It doesn't mean that there's issues even in your friendships. So there's so much to be said about understanding that you have to surrender and yield forward to what the day is going to bring. And if you have a spiritual resonation about you, that's not as difficult as it sounds. Letting go, I mean, just let go. That is just such a wonderful sensation to be able to do. Can you really just let go and not worry about what the day is going to bring forth? Can you really do it? I have people come to me in tears sometimes. They're just, their whole journey is out of balance. And, you know, think about people like me in my position who are called out to be spiritual counselors. We're humans. We don't necessarily have all the answers. All we have is the code to go by, which is the Bible that we study and we try to expend it. And people come to me with hard stuff. You know, I mean, it gets to the point where I'm like, look, let's just try to go really, really simple with this. I mean, do you believe in God? Well, first of all, they probably do or they wouldn't come to me being a spiritual counselor. You know, I mean, they go, well, yeah. I'm like, no. Do you really believe in God? They're like, well, yeah. And then I say again, no, do you really believe in God? They go, yeah. I said, well, then let go. Let go, because you're not God. You are not God, and God is God. So why are you trying to be God? You have to let go. You've got to understand what the rules are. Those of you who train in martial arts, from the day you're white belt and you continue to move forward, you know that there are certain techniques and you've trained in them and you've specialized in them over and over and over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going on 28 years of training and studying techniques in my traditional martial art. I've taught it. I still work at it. You know, it's like it could never be good enough. You're always a student in life. But I expend time into it. And you have to do that, not just in your field of expertise or your martial arts studies. You have to do that in everything else in life, too. You have to expend time into your spiritual resonation. You know, it's not enough that you just constantly go to people who are spiritual leaders. I mean, I'm glad you do, and I'm glad people come to me. But there comes a point where a good instructor, a good teacher would say, okay, I showed you what to do. Now you need to practice this, and you need to do it. See, that's the biggest hang-up I find as someone who deals with people who are going through challenges in their life. 6 months later, they'll call me crying again. And I'll be like, didn't we already have this conversation? Well, yeah. Well, then why didn't anything change? Because I gave you every principle and every reasonable understanding on how you can make changes, but you have to apply them. I mean, don't just cry and sit there in the mud and the muck of your life and sludge through it and cry. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a time to cry and there's a time to not cry, also part of the spiritual code in the Bible. There's a time for you to get up and change and make things happen. Counselors, spiritual leaders, ministers, these people were placed here by God. They're placed here to make a difference in the world with their ability to do what they do. But all the counseling in the world isn't going to make a difference if you don't apply yourself. You have to apply the principles. Is it hard? Probably. If it's a major change, it will be hard. But again, if you have that spiritual resonation and you know what the spiritual isms are and you know what the rules are, it's not as difficult because you're not like a blind man out there. Now, honestly, there are some points even in my own life where I feel like the lights are off and I'm putting one foot in front of the other and I'm stepping in the dark. That's scary for anybody when you're on a journey and you got to just feel around and put one foot in front of another. But the difference is, as a spiritual person, I know I'm taken care of no matter what, regardless. That's called faith. You see, faith is believing that everything's going to be okay, even if it doesn't seem like it. You still have to believe it. That's part of spiritualism. That's part of that belief system. It's not like we would make you a white belt and say, okay, you got to go do this black belt break. Okay, I know you're a brand new white belt, but go do a jump double split kick, which is a black belt break. Can't do that. It has to be applied in your reasoning and your understanding. But you're not going to be a yellow belt or a red belt or a brown belt until you apply yourself. You have to be able to study and train. And that's something you have to do in your spiritual life as well. I'm not knocking people who go to church. But listen, if you're going to go to church and be spoon-fed something, at least take what you've learned and apply it. I mean, the ultimate goal here is for you to be a spiritual black belt, for you to be able to pick up a book, a Bible, and look at it and go, okay, I understand this. This is speaking to me. If you can pick up something like a Bible and you don't understand it, you're probably not, you know, hate to call you a white belt, but you probably are. But you don't have to be there forever. Study. Go to class, you know. Every instructor out there, well, yeah, that looked really bad because you don't train, you know. The body, mind, and spirit triangle is something that I refer to quite a bit. You know, this is not something that is just unique to martial arts training. This is an understanding that having balance in your life comes with being healthy, being able to make good judgment calls, and understanding your spiritual walk. That's body, mind, and spirit. I mean, this is a principle in life that is a biblical principle as well, though it's not called that. But these are things for your own well-being and your understanding. But someone could sit there and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you, You got to be a white belt, guys. You got to walk in there and you got to try. You got to do it yourself. You got to do that cross low block thing like every white belt has to do, that first stance, that fighting stance. You need to be able to do that. And you can't do that if you don't study and you don't train. Well, listen, we got to stop worrying about stuff. All the stuff that hasn't happened yet. You know, all the foreseeable things. Oh, that relationship, I know just so it's going to fail. You know, the as a man thinketh, so is he. Hey, that's another spiritualism in the Bible, in Proverbs. As a man thinketh, so is he. You seriously want to start thinking about how your relationships are going to fail. You seriously want to think about how, oh, what if you don't have the financial security? You're going to get fired. You're going to go under. We're going to have a stock market crash. Or what if you start thinking about, I'm not going anywhere during flu season. I won't leave my house because I don't want to get sick and have someone have to restart my heart. Maybe I should have thought that last one, but I can't live my life under a rock. I'm not called to do that. Nobody's called to do that. Spiritual people are not called to live under rocks. If you tell me you're a spiritual person, I expect that you're going to be out and about doing something, even as the Holy Spirit would guide you on what to do. And sometimes that's not a calling you get instantly, but it's a knowing that you'll move toward. You move toward that path. You know, just understanding that you move toward that light that shines brighter, like the dawning of a new day, which is also in the Bible. So much good stuff in there. You don't get caught up in a lot of the all that dust that you know is on your Bible. Pick it up and read it, guys. It's something that once you understand how to read it, and once you understand the revelation knowledge behind it, I highly encourage you. I encourage you to be on a spiritual journey. It's part of the balance of your life. And, of course, for me, that's Christ. I'm not going to tell you anything else. But you've got to make that move. You've got to get in there and train, and you've got to be able to go out and find how you make a difference in this world. Time is short for everybody. Time is short for everybody. You know, sometimes people look at me a little strange because I'll go to a funeral and I don't cry. I'm not someone who, I do cry. Listen, I bleed. I get stomach aches. I do everything everybody else does. But, you know, because I have 6 black belts and I've done some things in my life, people may not think that. Oh, my God, what, you were sick? Well, you're healthy. Dude, I'm human. I do get the flu, okay? You know, if you cut me, I'm going to bleed. Surprise. You know, it's I got to do everything everybody else has to do. See, look at me coughing. I still haven't shaken this. This was a tough one. But that's not any reason for me to feel like I'm so below and so substandard in this world that I can't go out and make a difference. If I'm on my spiritual journey, ultimately, it's going to come to the point where you got to go out and make a difference. And however Father God, our true creator, wired you to make that difference. But there will be a way. Seek and you will find. Ah, another great principle in the Bible. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Take all this stuff that you guys learned in Sunday school. Remember that? Make it work. There's something behind everything. There's an application behind everything spiritual. Everything is something in the spirit realm. You just got to slow down and take the time to go to class. You know, you have to go to class. We have a little saying in martial arts, between instructors, and it's not like the nicest saying in the world, but I want to tell you what it is because it makes a very good point. You know who our favorite people are? Who's your favorite student? You know who our favorite students are? The ones that pay off the whole year and never come to class. That's Come on now, instructors. You know what I'm talking about. We don't really want you to be like that, seriously, because our goal and intent is to make you better people. But, man, there's a percentage of people who do that. They spend hundreds of dollars every new year. Oh, this is the year I'm going to try to get some rank in martial arts. And, you know, we never see them again until next new year, and they lay down the money again. We don't want to be that way, and we don't want to be that way spiritually. I don't want you to say, oh, I'm ready to go on my spiritual journey. And then 2 weeks down the road, you're back to where you were. You made no difference. You made no edge. You've made no journey. You're stagnant right where you are. The reason it's called a journey, because you got a journey. Always. And you're always a student in the spirit realm. Man, I don't know everything. I'm just shocked at how much I don't know every time I know something. And it's the same way in martial arts. 6th degree black belt, I don't feel like I know anything. I'm shocked at how much I don't know. All right, well, listen, I really felt led to tell you that this week. Not to worry about stuff. If you're a spiritual person, even to the point where they have to stop and restart your heart, you know, you got to let that go. I mean, I wasn't afraid that I may not come back. Because if I ever have to go, I'm ready to go. But I honestly felt like I had a lot more stuff I had to do before I go. So that's a call in the spirit realm, and evidently I do have more things to do. But you have to live your life and not worry about what the day's going to bring forth. It is a long-time warrior principle. Even those who go into the military will tell you, they sign a paper. Okay, what do you want to do with your stuff when you die? And you think, oh, my God, that's terrible. No, it's not. It's being a warrior. When you warrior up, you realize you may not come back. If you're in law enforcement, you're a warrior. You warrior up. I may not come back at the end of the day. But I have to surrender to what the day may bring forth. I have to yield to that and not worry about it. I can't go into my job as a police officer and worry about whether or not I'm going to get shot and killed today. I can't go into war and worry about whether or not I'm going to make it back. I might not make it back, but I surrender to that. A true, in-depth, spiritual person can surrender to that. I counsel a lot of police officers. Their wiring is very, very different. Yeah, and maybe you know someone in your family that's a police officer, and I'm not licking everybody with the same brush. These are the people that will be first to go out and save the life of a stranger. It could be a stranger they arrested 2 days ago. They'll go out and save that person's life. But they go home and they're hit with all, you know, other things in their own under their own roof, and they can't handle it. Say, well, listen, you're wired to be a certain way. When you're wired to go out and take a bullet for somebody, you do think a little differently, and you got to realize that on the home front. So maybe somebody needed to hear that. But we can all be combined, and we can all come together under the same umbrella of we are spiritual people, where I believe that God has my destiny in his hands. And I believe that nothing's going to happen to me unless he allows it, whether it's, you know, taking a bullet or you know, well, I'm going to have my job or whatever. I believe on my spiritual journey that everything is something, and Father God, my true creator, has my best interest in mind. And he's not going to allow anything to happen to me. No, the biblical principle is nothing can happen to you unless it gets permission from the throne of God. Man, that makes me sleep so much better with all the evil in the world to know that nothing can happen to me unless it first gets permission from the throne of God, because I'm covered under that spiritual umbrella, that belief, the blood of Christ. Hey, listen, I had a great time talking to you. I can't believe I just blew 30 minutes. I have 4 books out. I write for 2 monthly magazine columns. what else do I need to tell you? I do a lot of speaking engagements. I hope you keep me in prayers. I do a lot of Native American work. I go into Native American schools and areas of young people that are having some real problems in the Native American community, and they're kind of under the umbrella, and they don't get a whole lot of help. So young people has always been something in my heart. The last 17 years, I've done a lot of work with that. As those of you who know me, as Master Karen, know that you know what I do. But prayers are still always appreciated, because prayers are very, very powerful. So anyway, listen, if you have something you want me to talk about, hit me up. Give me your feedback. That's all good stuff. You know, I can take it. I was in broadcasting for a long, long time. I had to take a lot of stupid stuff, so I can take some other stuff that's going to be a little more real. I guess that's it for today. I just hope this next week will be a spiritual resonation for you, that you start to realize who you are and why you're here. That's always a spiritual question, and it always has a spiritual answer. God bless you, and we will see you for my next assignment next week on the Eden Assignment on AMAARadio.com.